I am. So
Amazing.
it's Linda Risenbury, and I'm hosting the webinar tonight, which is on the topic of the surprising gift of anger. And it's an Embodying MVC webinar, one of our quarterly webinars. And our guest tonight is none other than Shari L. What a surprise. And it's actually not a surprise, because this is a topic that Shari is very fond of, and Shari's run a number of different workshops specifically on the topic of anger. And so some of what we're going to hear tonight are some of the snippets and highlights and key points from that. And I guess for me, the topic of anger, I see it in so many different ways in myself and in the people that I work with, and it's a really interesting one, even just in chatting about it with Shari earlier and discussing the format of this webinar. It's amazing what stirs up inside. So it's going to be good. It's going to be juicy, I'm sure. And anyone who hasn't been on one of these webinars before, you'll have a panel, a control panel. It looks a bit different to mine, so I may say something that's not quite exactly what you're seeing in front of you. But you should have options to mute yourself if you have a lot of background noise going on. I may mute you if I think that there is for some reason, noise coming through from you. And you ought to be able to see that. And you also, most people, but not everyone, will be able to select share the webcam, and you'll be able to come up on the screen and we'll be able to see you, engage with you in that way. So have a look and see if you can do that. That would be great. And some people are coming in just by phone, so obviously that's not going to be an option for them. Now, in the screen also, I'm just going to do a tiny bit of housekeeping before we hand over or launch into it with Shari. There's also a chat screen. You can ask a question or make a comment or something in that side panel there, and we'll be able to see that and weave in to, I don't know, Vanessa's being cheeky, I think, saying, can you make me the presenter?
No, that's not me. I have got clothes on.
That's interesting. It says it's Vanessa. Okay. So.
So I'm looking on the phone. Let me get on the computer.
Sorry, Vanessa. Okay. So if you have a technical problem, you can pop something in that screen where it says chat, and if we can help you, I will. May or may not be able to do that. If you have a question that you would like to pose and you want to make sure you don't forget it, or that we know that you've got that question there, pop it in there as well. There'll be time for discussion and it will be as interactive as we can make it. So that's there in case. So Shari, we'll sort of introduce the topic and then do some questions and discussion and an exercise, and then we'll wrap up at the end. So people are joining as we go. But Shari, I want to welcome you for tonight's topic. Thank you for to take it. It's a topic sometimes we touch on in almost every retreat because it is so important. It's something that comes up for so many people in so many different ways. So it's obviously a really important thing for us to know how to handle it within ourselves and how to meet it in a way that's going to support connection. And it's so disappointing and painful when we don't manage to do that. So it's so important to do our best to bring consciousness in probably what is one of our most unconscious moments, I would say, or potentially.
Yeah.
So I'll pass it over to you and let you say some more about what you want to share with us tonight, please.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. So this is a topic that I really have a lot of energy for, because it's so, so important. You know, over and over, what I see is that the topics that we actually don't naturally have ease around in our society, in our communities, are the ones where we have a lot of stored energy and a lot of inner conflict. Anywhere where we have inner conflict, it's going to also be coming out in outer conflict in some way or some outer disconnection. So, I just have a lot of joy, strangely enough, to actually go into the topic of anger. So I'd really love to start with just a tad of connection with everyone, and just I'd love to hear, both as a way of just connecting everyone who's here, but also as a way of hearing just from each of you, I would love to just go around the circle, and if you imagine drawing a circle and putting each person's name on that circle.
Oops.
Unmute me.
Yes.
It's all right. So if we go around the circle and just name each person, or just get each person to speak up in turn, and what I'd love to hear is...
Excuse me, Sharon. There's an echo and I'm just going to mute people. So I'm going to ask everyone to mute themselves if you wouldn't mind. Just and then unmute yourself when you're going to speak in this circle, because an echoey background sound. You'll have more control if you do the muting than if I do it.
Right. So if we can just go around the circle, what I would love to hear just in one sentence, because I'd like to spend the majority of the time really working with this topic, but I'd love to hear just in one sentence, you know, what's the one thing that you would like to get from this webinar that would have you skipping off at the end in joy? So maybe we could just have one person at a time. I don't have everyone's name here, so maybe just one at a time. If you unmute yourself and just say your name, and we can draw you on this imaginary circle, and just hear what is it that would have you, that if you got it from this webinar, what is it that would have you skipping out the door in joy at the end? So whenever
Bevan
someone's
here.
Ready. Thanks, Bevan.
It's Bevan.
Yep.
I guess my jump for joy would be meeting with
our... Just one second, Bevan. We're just going to mute everybody because it's echoing back. Okay, how about having another go, Bevan?
I was going to say dealing with anger when technology doesn't work properly. No, it's dealing with anger from other people when they're angry. I guess that's what I find most difficult, is sort of responding to other people's anger.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Bevan. So who's next? Maybe we can just go down the list. So, Alistair.
Hi, it's Alistair here, and lovely to see you guys. I think for me it's similar. It's the fear of not knowing how to deal with an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks.
Getting some insight into that would be brilliant. Thank you.
Great, thank you. So Andrew and Vivian. Oh, he's still muted. Can't hear you. Might come back to you, Vivian. Bronte. Can you unmute yourself? Great.
without it.
You there, Bronte?
I am.
Awesome. Lovely to hear you. What is one thing that would have you skipping out at the end of this?
Skipping out of the podcast.
Out of the webinar. What's one thing that you would like to know or have more insight into, learn, that would have you skipping out at the end?
Excited and happy. It would be to understand what anger is and how to use it.
Mm. Can you say more about and how to use it? I just want to make sure I'm meeting what you're asking.
As I've been finding my own anger and what's behind it, that it's unmet needs, self-empathy is a big part of it too, is my relationship with anger has changed, that I considered a much more powerful tool in my life as an energy for someone that's always suppressed my anger.
Yeah, great. Terrific. Thank you. Kate?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably to recognize my anger and understand
beautiful.
It better.
Fantastic.
And then be able to manage through it, yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you. Susie?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can
Hello?
Hear you, Susie. Yes, we can hear you.
Sorry. I guess similar, recognizing my anger and being able to express my anger in a way that isn't either passive-aggressive, which is sort of really non-communication, or just arguing, you know, some more effective way of conveying my anger. And also dealing with someone who is using their anger against me in kind of a controlling way. How you sort of stop being affected by that. Does that make sense?
How you not affect... No, say that last bit again, how you don't get affected by it.
Well, conversely, because I don't really have much anger. I'm not an angry person, but when people are... When I'm trying to deal with people that are being angry towards me in kind of a controlling way, just trying to sort of handle that without getting upset.
Okay. Terrific. Thank you. Thanks, Susie.
Okay.
Vanessa. Vanessa?
Mute myself.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. Yes, I would like to recognize more when I'm angry and what the needs are beneath the anger. Before I kind of jump into it.
Awesome. Terrific. Thank you. And Dorothy, welcome. You there, Dorothy?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Dorothy. We were just asking, what's the one thing that you would really like to get from this webinar on anger that would really make a difference for you?
I think what Vanessa said really speaks for me too, about staying connected with myself when I'm angry.
Great. Lovely. Awesome. Thanks so much. Lovely to hear everyone's... everyone's voice as well. What about you, Linda? Oh, you're muted.
We haven't heard Andrew and Vivian.
Oh, we haven't either, thank you.
Yeah.
Great, we'll come back.
Shari, can you hear me? It's Justine. I'm actually dialed in on the phone.
Justine, you're not showing.
Oh, you can hear me. Okay, I wasn't sure about that.
We can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
I couldn't get the internet to work fast enough for the webinar, so I've dialed in on the phone, if that's okay.
Great. And so, Justine, what would you like from the call? And then we'll go to Andrew and Vivian.
I'd like to engage with anger more in myself and with others, because I want to see it as an opportunity and a gift. Rather, that's what struck me about what you wrote, seeing anger as a gift, because rather than running away from it or freezing up or whatever else happens in myself when other people are angry at me or I'm angry, I'd rather see it as an opportunity.
Awesome. Lovely. Thank you. Fantastic. And Andrew and Vivian? Maybe Andrew first? I can't hear you. We still can't hear you. Okay.
Maybe something on your computer might be muting you, Andrew. So I guess for me, I'll speak as well.
Yep. We'll just keep moving because I'm not sure what's happening with your sound, but we can't hear you. But if you want to type it into chat, we can read it out. So Linda.
It's weird.
There we go.
We can hear you now.
Yeah.
We can hear you now.
Yeah, I don't think it just took time to come on. For me, would be dealing with someone that's angry and being able to distill the goodness in terms of what they're expressing and still be able to be fully present and not become less than in that interaction.
Awesome. Vivian. Lovely, thank you. And Vivian?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I don't know what to say, really. Something about when I get angry, recognizing that there's other emotions underneath that, like sadness,
yeah,
or loneliness, or rather than I feel that I miss those steps and go straight to anger and defense and so others have said something, things that are a bit similar, so yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying there, Vivian, just that that wanting to connect with the tenderness is what I'm hearing, the more tender emotions that can, and the more vulnerable emotions that can be under that defense of anger.
That's what I've been recognizing in the last couple of weeks particularly. It's like, oh gosh, that's what's there. And it's like a metaphor would be like there'd been a room that's shut and now it's kind of, I'm peeking into that door and going, okay, that's there. So yeah, that's been very helpful.
Yeah, beautiful. So that sort of takes me, sorry, and Linda. Sorry, Linda.
Yeah, well, you asked it before, so it got me thinking. And I guess what I see is that with anger, anger as can seem like an attack, and so then it's my work is about really staying engaged when somebody is angry and directing the energy of that at me. And to not move into also moving against that, a sort of an energetic against and defending myself, and not moving as a sort of pull away, withdraw sort of energy either. So just to find that place of actually standing upright, neither leaning away nor pushing back in against it, but just standing in the center and the truth of what is my experience and being able to stay connected and engaged.
Mm. Mm, Beautiful, thank you.
Or if I feel I really need to move away, even to do that from the energy. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, I love all the different things that people have shared already, and just the rich ground, maybe that just even what people are looking for from this topic just gives you a glimpse already into the rich ground of this topic of anger. And you know, some of what is held within it. And the first thing that I just want to share about this, about anger, is that for most of us, we have grown up being told that anger is wrong. Actually, for some of us, it's not a problem. For some, sorry, I'll restate this. For some of us, we've grown up in households where anger's no problem. You just yell and, or just, you know, react or respond in whatever way, you know, authentically with your anger. And that's kind of like the shared agreement within the home. And so, you know, it's sort of said, it's released, it's heard, and people move on. But for other families of origin, it's very much not that. It's very much we don't get angry. It's not right to get angry. You know, we use our words, or we, you know, control ourselves, or we, whatever the particular story is, but it's not okay in other families to express strong emotion. And so that's the first thing I just want to share, is that anger is simply a strong emotion. It's an intense emotion. And what most people who find it challenging to be with anger are nervous around is that intensity of the emotion. So I'm just imagining that. So even in families where people have grown up and it's fine and it's okay for that, for anger to just be expressed. You know, you imagine, you know, Italian families, I'm generalizing totally here, but you get the sense of it. You know, Italian families or Spanish families, I come from a Hungarian family, you know, and in Hungarian families, I'm imagining, I don't know, because I was never actually, you know, grown up in a Hungarian family, but you just sort of say it, and that's part of the vitality, you know. But the challenge is that, you know, that within some cultures it's fine, but within other cultures it's very much not the done thing. And so quite often what will happen is that those people who've got more fiery emotions, or that anger is fine to kind of be expressed, tend to meet up with people who anger is not okay with, and then still meet the same responses. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that it's fine if we've all got a shared understanding that anger is simply an intense emotion, but that's rarely the case, that we're just with other people who that is fine with. And so for most of us, what we've done is that we've met up with other people who have had a different response to anger. So it might be that we express our feelings of anger, and you know, someone has, stop, like, that's just not safe for me. You know, how many people have grown up in families where there's been abuse or alcoholism or domestic violence or whatever it is, and so anything with that sort of heightened emotion can send people into a space of being really, really triggered. So because of that, for most of us, what we've done is we have tried to modify. Whenever we have felt angry, there's a modification that we tend to do. So we've either grown up with it, or we start to change our behavior as time goes on, and we move into other families where anger's not okay, or workplaces where it's definitely not okay to express anger within a workplace. It's just not professional. And so anger has become something that's wrong. And so, but that doesn't mean that we stop feeling anger, because of course we are going to, anger is just simply an emotion that is pointing to a really precious need. And so then we start to modify our expression of anger into some other form, some other way.
Shari, can I just share with you? So, like what I'm hearing you say is that, yeah, we all have an experience growing up of how anger is perceived in our family.
Yep.
And we have a way that we, how then we feel comfortable or not comfortable around anger or fearful of it or not.
Yep.
And and of course we meet other people who have different experiences as well.
Yes.
So in that, I'm really curious because I'm not sure that for many of us that we're actually really familiar with what our, how we perceive anger and how we feel about anger. Yeah?
Mm.
And I'm thinking that that's pretty important because when you're not comfortable with anger, you tend to handle it, as you say, a certain way.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, I'm really curious to hear what people know about how they feel around anger. And I'm wondering if that's, if you'd be willing to just have a quick check-in from two or three people.
Yeah.
How they feel so, about anger, just to check out with people the reality of what you're sharing there.
Yeah. So maybe we could hear from two or three people just what your, how when people around you are feeling angry or when you yourself are angry. I'd really like to hear from, say, three people. How are you with anger, either in yourself or with someone else?
It's Hi. Vivian here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
When you were speaking, Shari, I was thinking, well, you know, like my mum was used to get pretty angry and pretty expressive about anger, and I think my response to that was I hated it because, you know, it didn't feel good, so I decided that anger was bad, and so I did a whole line in repression until... Really, I kind of, I reckon in a way, that's why I'm with Andrew, because I can't repress it. And so I think it's my, I'm just seeing really for the first time, because, yeah, I mean, I don't like being an angry, you know, I would always say I was not an angry person, but now I reckon I've become a really angry person, and I'm looking forward to making peace with that. Yeah, that part of myself and understanding, you know, yeah, like I guess I'm sort of, it's helping me to understand. That's what I guess that's what can, you know, it's, you know, decades of repression, it's probably got to come out sometime.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the thing with what I see is actually we cannot repress anger. It will come out in some other way, and that's actually what we're going to go on to next, but that it's actually, it will come out in some other form. If we're not just true and honest with it, it will come out in some other form, whether it's in resentment or whether it's in withholding love or whether it's in, you know, some other form, which we'll go into some of the other forms in a few minutes, but it will come out in some way because it's just a natural emotion, so... Yeah. So thank you for sharing that, Vivian. Yeah. Mm. And like as you said, you know, for a lot of us, when our parents got angry, it really became not safe. I know that was one of the things that I used to control or try and control is how my mother felt, so that I didn't cop her wrath in whatever way that was. Can we hear from someone else? Oh, Dorothy has just shared something. Do you want to share it in person, Dorothy?
Yeah, well, I don't really have a lot to add, I suppose, to what I said there, just that you know, it wasn't that it was an angry household. It was that my father was angry a lot, but it was not anger he would own as arising from himself. It arose because my brother and I did something we were not meant to do, or didn't do something we were meant to do. And that just gave me a lot of practice in being scared when people are angry. So I tend to lose touch with what's going on for myself when I'm around someone angry. I'm not terribly angry myself a lot anymore, but it's more my response to other people's anger that's at issue for me.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Dorothy. I'm imagining that a lot of us can really relate to what you're saying around, you know, people's anger also coming out in other ways. You know, if we're not just simply owning our own anger, it can then start to be reflected in getting angry when our children do something. And it may be because people aren't actually aware of the anger that's going on in the background as well. Thanks, Dorothy. Can we just hear from one other person? How is it for you when you meet anger in yourself or in others?
I'm happy to make a comment.
Go for it, Kate.
I grew up in a family where actually two of the siblings were very angry, and I tended to shy away from it, probably from not feeling safe around it. And as an adult, I think I'm the same. And a little bit like Linda said earlier, I can take it on. I can take it on personally, and I'm not sure how I recognise my own anger.
Just one second, Kate. We'll just keep going, Kate.
And so as a result, I'm not sure how I recognise my own anger, because I know I get angry and I can be. And I don't manage through it well sometimes, not all the time.
Yeah, thank you. So so when you say you don't handle it, you don't go through it well, there's just a general unease?
Yeah, it would. It's my own anger, and it's just something that's not overly important. I can get angry quickly, and I think I don't express it well, or I don't. I shouldn't be that angry over something so small.
Yeah. So then you start jackaling yourself around even getting angry.
Yeah.
Particularly when it's something that's seemingly something that's small.
Yeah, and I don't think my nature likes anger, because I know that I kind of left home going, I need to get away from all that. And, you know, I was always uncomfortable with the noise level and the shouting, and, you know, it was very much the opposite to what I was like. You know, I was a very quiet child, so I found it quite nerve-wracking to be sort of around it. And I think now as an adult, I sort of struggle with it, but with myself and with others, I probably in the same situation, I don't feel safe when it's say a partner or a work situation. I don't feel safe at all.
Thank you. Thanks for that. Vanessa, I can see that you're wanting to respond, but I might just move on just for time if that's okay.
Shari, I'm really struck by the and the people who spoke, how the sense of safety around anger, that the big need comes up for us all around safety, whether we're angry or whether someone else is angry around us,
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the really important things that I want to share around anger, and that is that the thing is, for many of us, when someone is getting angry, our own need for safety may come up, particularly when it's in someone else, but actually even in ourselves. I mean, there's so many men that I've met, but it's particularly seems to be that I hear this from men, that they're afraid that if they really went into their emotion of anger, that of what they might do, of just the strength and power in what they might do. And I've heard that, you know, numerous times. So it can be anger, fear within ourselves of what we might do, but also the importance of actually holding ourselves emotionally safe. And so the first thing that I want to say is that regardless of what is going on, I need to know, we all need to know that we are safe, that the situation that we're in is safe, and that we are not putting ourselves in danger. So, and that includes emotional danger. When I say danger, I mean, but if we feel emotionally unsafe, then we need to meet our own need for safety. In some way, we need to meet our need for safety. So I want to just preface this by saying that if that need for you is up, please, please, please pay attention to it. So that's the very first thing. I don't want you standing there and giving empathy to someone who is angry when you are feeling emotionally unsafe, because that's one of the ways that we actually let our system, let ourself know we are taking care of our needs, is actually if I feel emotionally unsafe, that I take action to make sure that I'm safe. So that's the first thing. So everything that I'm saying from here on in is based on, okay, so let's, you know, we're feeling safe enough. We're feeling safe enough in the situation that we're in. Then
it's a very important distinction, though, safe enough, because often you're not going to feel 100% emotionally safe when you're around someone who's angry, and empathy may help to actually bring a level of safety, whether it's empathy for yourself or the other, mightn't it? But
yes.
And obviously if you feel fear for your physical safety, or you know, you're at a level of stretch that's just too far as emotional safety goes, then by all means it's important not to be there somehow or another, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even to the point where, you know, I remember someone feeling, actually I'm going to just put safety to the side, and we're just going to, you know, take that as a given and just come back and focus on around anger. So as I was saying before, you know, that we actually can't repress anger, that it will come out in some way. And we all know people who, you know, they're not saying anything angry, they're not whatever, but there's this sense of, you know, something being bottled up that is there. And sometimes, and so I just want to actually just take a moment and ask, you know, what are some of the ways that you do anger that are not just straight yelling or expressing yourself in that sort of with that intensity? So what are some of the ways that you might do that? So express anger in some way that isn't just straight expressing anger. And I'll just get you to just speak up.
I know that I go very quiet.
So you stay there, in the physical space, but you just start to go quiet.
If I'm not feeling too unsafe, I'll stay there, but I just get very quiet.
Yeah.
And if I can, I might leave if I get to the point of feeling very unsafe. It depends what the situation is. But yes, I tend to go quiet rather than go the other way, which is to express it.
Yeah, yeah. And what's going on inside? Again, I'm just really wanting to raise awareness of what is going on inside of us when we're getting angry. Because, again, because we've been so told anger is wrong, then we start to actually disconnect from even recognizing when it comes up because of the different ways we express anger. So how is that for you, Justine?
I think when I go quiet, I'm very unsure of myself and I'm trying to probably disconnect from feeling anything.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to bottle myself up into the smallest space possible and be very small and just try not to be attacked any further. That's in the case of somebody being angry with me.
Yes. Yeah. So you just sort of become quite small, almost, just so that you keep yourself safe. Okay. Thanks, Justine. So someone else, what do you do?
I will respond, yeah.
Yes, please, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I've kind of grew up quite comfortable just going off with my lot of siblings and even with my ex-husband. And I just then in situations where I haven't felt as close and now as a grown-up, I would probably kind of withdraw a little bit or try to shut down the feelings so that I don't say something that's hurtful, or because there's usually a lot of blame attached to my expression of anger.
Yeah.
So it's usually, that's one of, when we were talking before, like the free expression of anger usually involved a lot of blaming of other people.
Yes.
And so, I'll tend to feel tense and sometimes my body language will be withdrawing, either looking away a little bit or the lips tightening and kind of head shaking maybe.
Yeah. Thanks, Vanessa. So, for a lot of us, we try and not actually stay much or, quieten down and, repress it in some way. And I just want to go through, a few of the different ways that people might express anger that aren't just straight up ways of expressing just simply what they're feeling. And so one might be to take it out on someone or something else. You know, how many times have we seen either in our life or in someone else's life where we might have a bad day at work and then we come home and we take it out on the family because the family may be safe to take it out on. You know, they're not going to disconnect or make us wrong in the same way that they might fire us at work, for example. So we may take it out in a different way.
Might displace it.
Displace it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm remembering growing up with my father had died and my mother when I was 14, and my mother had five children, the youngest of which was two. And I know often the anger that expressed itself in our home was her own upset and anger, and it was expressed as soon as we didn't do something quite small. You know, that was the trigger. Another might be that we do things like withhold affection. So we start to withhold affection or connection as a way of underhandedly, I say underhandedly, not as a judgment, but as a not clear way of actually letting someone know that we're angry. Now, we might do things like eat or smoke or drink, or we might do things like criticize people, criticize either that person themselves or someone else. Or we might do something like withhold sex is another thing. Or that we might ask So particularly in the workplace, if we're feeling angry, we might pull rank, you know, and demand compliance, whether we say it or not, but that's what we're doing. We're demanding that they just comply. It's like, that's enough. You're just going to comply. Or we might belittle what they say. Or the other thing that we might do is stay professional. This, again, I'm thinking more in the workplace. We might stay professional but distant. It's almost like we become very reasonable, very, very reasonable, but quite, you know, cold in our reasonableness, you know, like just sort of drawing that line of distance. Or we might move into things like other sideways things like gossip is another way. If I'm angry with someone or something, I might start gossiping about it. You know, or I might withdraw. And so there's all sorts of different ways that when we are not okay with anger, it may start to come out in some of these different ways. So I want to just start just by just giving a little bit of an insight. So I'd like you to think about, you know, reflect on. It's really important to reflect on what it is that you do that is not acknowledging anger when it's there, but there's anger running. So one of the things that I do is I start talking about a situation. You know, I'll start to, you know, I'll get Linda on the phone and I'll start saying, hey, do you know what just happened? You know, I just had this big argument with the ATO and blah, blah, blah. And in fact, I'm angry. But I'll start talking to whoever will listen to me. But that's sort of a way of not being present to myself. So what is it you do? So just take a moment and what is it you do? And maybe chat, if you can just chat it, put it into the chat box as to what you do when that isn't just straight out expressing your anger. And again, just keeping in mind the reason why we're doing this is I want to know what I do so I can recognize it and have choice, which is the next part that we're getting to, is just the whole thing of anger and what's really going on.
It seems to me, Shari, just how people are doing that people, is like the two sort of thrusts, it's either an overt projection and blaming and criticism and pushing and moving that energy out onto someone else, demanding whatever it is, or it's a covert, you know, more hidden or less obvious, or pulling away, quiet, quietening down. You know, not wanting to have overt conflict.
So that could be like then just withdrawing or eating cake or...
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing is that those things are being done. I mean, often both those different ways of energetically handling it are trying to... are still beds for connection, which would be interesting to see when we get a bit further in the webinar. But to me, they're still beds for connection.
And generally unlikely to get the need met.
Yeah, often doesn't work out.
So just some of the comments that are coming through in the chat, and thank you everyone for putting down your different comments. Is you know, someone saying that they used to get resentful and shut down in emotional availability, but now they can sometimes let the other person know that that they're going out. I'm guessing maybe let them know that you're going out and that you're going to return. I'm guessing that. and someone else saying that I'm loving the different comments. That they engage in the pity party. poor me, to try and win affection. I'm guessing maybe to re-get connection in some way. It's sort of a way of possibly looking for that. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Another one. Is it a good thing or a bad thing to vent your anger? Example with a friend. Well. We might vent our anger, but again, you know, there's a difference between anger where we're really connected to ourselves, to what it is that's so important to us, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. And there's a difference between that and taking that out on someone. And again, the more that we know NVC, the more choice we have and choicefulness that we have, and the recognition that we're just meeting that's our own needs that are there, our own precious needs. So, again, we're going to come to that in just a moment.
And Sharon, possibly what that person's pointing to, venting to a third party. And even that, actually, the more that you vent, the more you develop those pathways in your brain is what has been discovered. So people think, okay, I'm just venting. But actually, you're just making more of a superhighway into your reactivity, interestingly.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The more that we can really connect with what's going on underneath, then the more we're building that pathway in our mind and in our heart.
Yeah.
Someone else is saying about becoming... That sometimes their anger is frustration about a situation that they have no control over, particularly when they're feeling or telling themselves that they're being controlled by somebody else, and then they can become despondent and depressed. And that's becoming depressed is another response of that that sense of powerlessness that we can sometimes feel that can give itself rise. I love Liv Larson's work, you know, where we might either go to rebellion, which can be anger, or, you know, withdrawal, which can then lead to depression. Tidy the kitchen loudly. I like that one. To try and draw attention to what's going on. There's quite a few different ones. I'm just laughing at the comment. Big superhighway. Yeah, exactly. So, and even just that trying to blame another person to avoid acknowledging the intensity of my own feelings. And that leads me straight into this next piece that that I'm really wanting to move to, which is this story that Marshall has, that I heard from Marshall very early on, and... just turning on some lights, so I'm not sitting in darkness, but I'm still going to be sitting in darkness, so not much I can do about it, the light switches are gone. Marshall tells this story, and it's like he talks about this man, and he's asleep in the middle of the night, and you know those old fire alarms that would go off, and so it's alarm goes off in the middle of the night, and he gets up and he, you know, tries to throw a shoe at it, and he misses it, and it's still going off, and, you know, he's getting really annoyed, and, you know, he gets the chair and hits it with a shoe, and it's still going off. He's just so frustrated at this bloody alarm that's going off. And then finally, you know, he gets a hammer and he gives the alarm a great big whack, and the alarm flies off the wall, and as he does, he realizes that his house is burnt down. And that is like anger. Anger is just a signal. It's just a signal, but we have made the signal wrong. So for most of us, we're getting angry at the anger. The anger is a bad thing or a wrong thing. But in fact, anger is such an important emotion. Because anger is there telling us that not just do we have a need, but we have a huge, intense need that is really, really, really important to us. And if we don't notice it the first or the second time, then we are just, it's just going to keep intensifying until we actually stop and pay attention to it. So we want to be able to, as best we can, develop the capacity to notice anger when it's not at a 10 out of 10 intensity, but when it's at a 3 or a 4 or a 5. And so that is more when I'm frustrated, when I'm annoyed, when I'm irritated. Notice it at that point, because if I don't notice my responses and reactions at that point and identify the precious needs underneath, then it will keep intensifying, particularly when it's a really, really important need. So I just want to stop and just check in, particularly with Linda, if you've got anything to add on that one.
I think often the gatekeeper of irritation or something that low level just gets sort of overlooked or not seen, and we don't know that we're angry until we're really angry or until we can't avoid that feeling. So I love that as an aspiration, and to be able to do that in an awareness practice, absolutely. And I'm thinking, what do you think for people when they are really in the grip of their anger?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
What then?
Yeah. Yeah. So the first thing is that if I am really in the grip of my anger, then I want to, if I can, recognize, oh my God, I am in incredibly strong reaction here right now. Like I am, my emotions are just so intense. And that if I'm going to open my mouth, chances are from this place, chances are that I am not going to get the kind of connection that I would really like. Because in this moment that I've got that intensity of emotion, chances are, and anger, chances are in that moment I am not connected to my needs. So the first thing that I would say is pause and do not open your mouth. So, of course, you can then go to self-empathy. And you know, that might take a few rounds and a few goes. In fact, I'd like to just, I'd like to have everyone actually going through this exercise, so I'd like everyone to just think of a situation where someone said something that just triggered that kind of intense response. And by the way, it could look not as like getting angry back at the person, it could look at like I have to get away from this person as fast as I possibly can. It could look like that. That can be another form of anger. So just take a moment and I'd like you to think of a time, of a situation where someone said something that really triggered that kind of intense response. For me, it was the other day with the Australian Taxation Office, where we... We're in the midst of changing over our accounting system at the moment, and in the midst of that, I got an extension to put our BAS in, and we still haven't been able to make that deadline. I rang them back again, and they said to me, they absolutely agree. I was happy to pay them the money. Like, I'll give you the money. I don't know how much the money is, but I'll give you the money. Like, I just cannot tell you the amount because we're still changing our system over. And they said to me, this is the triggering statement for me, I'm sorry, but you are in non-compliance and there is nothing we can do. You can appeal your fine if you get one. And that I just saw red. So, I mean, it was a long conversation, but that will do.
What is it? Shari, can I just check? You're asking people to think of their own situation. Yeah. Where
think of your own situation where someone said something that triggered a response of anger in you.
Yeah. And so just jotting that down for now?
And just jotting that down. Yep. Jotting that down. One more minute. Okay, so I'm imagining and hoping that everyone's got one written down. So the first thing I want to say, and I've already pointed to this, is that because our reaction is so strong, more than likely it's because a really, 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 really important need of yours is up. And that if it wasn't an important need, it wouldn't be such a strong reaction. You'd just be going, it's all right, and move on. So of course, in this situation, we could get empathy. And, we can go away and give ourselves empathy, and then we might eventually get to the core need of what's happening. But I want to offer you a shortcut. For those of you who haven't attended my foundation trainings, I'm going to give you a shortcut that will get to your core need. And I'd like you to do it with this particular situation. So the first thing is that my first question to you is, in this situation, what is it that you would have liked to have seen happen that didn't? I'm going to say that again. So in this situation, what is it that you would have liked to have seen happen that didn't? So in my situation, what I would have liked to have seen happen was the ATO person to have said to me, Shari, I totally get you are doing everything that you can to meet your requirements, and let's organise something that works for both of us here so that you don't get a fine. So that's what I would have liked to have happened. So what is it you would have liked to have seen happen that didn't in this situation? So just write that down. And even if you think, God, that would never happen, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's just acknowledging what is it you really would have liked to have happened. And then the next question, allowing all needs to be, you know, precious and welcome, is if that had happened, what would that give you? What need of yours would be met if that had happened? So for me, the needs that would have been met is partnership and something about assurance that the systems and structures in our world are actually working, that we're working together with it, with the systems and structures. So it's something about reassurance. But the third thing that would have been really important to me in that situation is also trust with the people I work with. Because if they had have come back and said that to me, then it would be that I'm fulfilling my requirements with Linda and Meryn and other people within the organisation of Embodying MVC. Because that's my job, to make sure we don't get fined.
So asking about what needs would be met if that thing had happened.
If that thing had happened, what needs of mine, what really important needs of mine would be met? And it would be trust, particularly with my partner, with you, and with the people I work with in my organisation. And it also would be partnership with the ATO.
Yep.
And reassurance that we're living within systems that are actually sane. So that's me. So I'd really love to hear from just say two people. I'd really love to hear from two people how that experience was, not so much the details of it, because we've only got 20 more minutes left in this call, but it's but more what you discovered when you did that shortcut. And how was it for you to identify what you previously would have been angry about, to identify that precious need? Susie, are you wanting to share? Susie?
She's muted, yep. Perhaps.
She's unmuted. You there, Susie? No. Is there someone else who wants to share? Or he'd be willing to share.
I can share if you like.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, that'd be
good. Yeah, I was going travelling earlier in the year and took out insurance policy, you know, in case anything. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, we can hear you now. Yep. Yep, we can hear you.
Sorry. So I took out a travel insurance policy as I would normally do. I unfortunately had quite a bad accident, and the travel agency were like the ATO, the travel insurance company were like the ATO, very dismissive, very unhelpful. I was alone, very, very unwell, not sure of my injuries, and there was no trust, and there's no partnership, very similar, except not the ATO, really. And I was alone.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that I recognise here is that we live in a world now where there is a lot of the similar situations and where they have these, I always call them the call centres, that have no answers for anything, whether it's an ATO situation or whether it's my situation, it was a call centre for a travel insurance policy, but at the end of the day, it brought up so many emotions and so much anger. Because I thought I did the right thing, took out the policy. It was very, very, very bad.
And what was the precious need that you? I'm just really hearing the vulnerability of and maybe feeling scared and alone in that situation. And
very much wondering, so. I was in the middle of nowhere. I was in a foreign country in the middle of nowhere where no one spoke English, and I was badly injured. And there was no trust. Like, there was,
yes.
you're you're in a situation where they weren't trusting your, you know, my opinion was, I don't think I'm very well. I think I'm actually really unwell. And there was no trust to say, okay, let's get you back home. It was all about the dollar. It was all about the policy. The policy is this, and this is how it works, and this is what you'll do. And so a little bit like the ATO. So that just frustrates and made me more angry.
So what was it that was the precious need that you had in that situation?
Well, I felt it was a little bit, I guess, trusting their customer, or trusting me, I guess, to make I guess there's a level of respect in someone's situation which was quite unique in terms of what had happened to me. It was quite rare and quite unique and quite strange, to be honest, but there was, I was very open and honest and was very concerned and thought, I think I should come home. So it was just the, I was alone, I felt alone.
So can I just check, you know, when you said, when you asked yourself, what is it that you would have liked to have seen happen that didn't, what was it?
For them to, similar to the ATO, for them to say, okay, let's look at our options here. Let's make that decision together. Let's consider how you're feeling. Let's consider what their policy is, and let's work to achieve a goal that is workable for both parties.
Yeah.
And there was nothing of that. There was zero of that. It was like
and,
the ATO.
And if they had, have done that, what would that give you? What's the need that would have done? What would have given you?
At the time, thinking, you know, the actual time that, I guess when you've been in a situation like that, you're feeling very vulnerable, and you're not sure, and you want to be back home in comfort, in, you know, like that I will be okay.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm wondering.
People, I guess.
So I'm wondering if they had have said to you, look, no problem. We will, don't worry. We will work this out together. Here are some options of what we can do, and we'll get you home in no time. What would that have given you? If they had have said that, what would that give you?
That they're caring.
Yeah,
looking outside of rules that have been put in place that made no sense, and they didn't follow anyway, so it doesn't. That's beside the point. But they weren't actually following their own rules, which even made it worse. But it was a very sort of, I don't know if dogmatic approach is right, but it was very much, you will do this, you will, you know, it was that sort of tone. And when you're very, very unwell, it brought up so much anger for me.
So just, could I ask you to just pause for one sec? So this is an important part, you know, because, and I'm not just saying this for you, I'm saying this for everyone here on the call, and that is that if we want to, we can stay in self-righteousness, you know. If we want to, we can stay in self-righteousness. So if we want to, and there's no wrong about it, you know, I can keep looking at the ATO, for example, and going, you know, they're idiots, they're antiquated, they're, you know, and not only that, I'm going to ask everyone on this call if they agree with me, and I think I can safely say that I can get a yes from everybody, right? Like, what I'm saying is, you know, we can get people to even agree with us that, you know, it was totally wrong what they were doing or whatever. But instead we have a choice, and the choice is to notice, I'm really in anger right now at, you know, the injustice of it or whatever, and to notice what is it that's really important to me about this, and kind of savour that. And it's kind of, so when I do that, there can be a different internal response when I really connect that. Actually, so to be honest, you know, all of my argument about the ATO, and it is important to me, all of the different needs, but the one need that really touches my heart the most and I feel soft about is when I connect to this need for trust with the people I work with. No, that's when I go, oh, yes. And everything in me just, oh, you know, sort of, yes, it's that, you know. And I'm wondering, in your situation, what, you know, when you were really with that organisation, and if they had have said to you, don't worry about it, we are going to send a helicopter. Just stay where you are. We've got a GPS system on you right now. And we're sending a helicopter. It's going to land right outside that telephone box. And we are going to take care of you. And we're going to get you home. I'm wondering how that might have felt for you. If you imagine that.
I think that definitely resonates with anyone better, because you feel that there's someone there if you need them.
So can I interrupt you? Can I interrupt you for a sec?
Sure.
So right now we're talking about out there. Well, that would resonate with anyone sort of out there. But I'm actually asking you to check inside, because this is actually, this work, it's like requires an inner vulnerability to check, to be present to my own feelings of what, how might that be for you if I was on the other end of that call and I said to you, I'm going to send, don't worry, don't move, I get that you're really not well, I'm going to send a helicopter right now for you, just sit tight, and we're going to send a helicopter. I'm wondering how, in your body, how would that feel? How does that feel, imagining that?
I feel reassured. I feel...
What needs are met would have been...
Actually, I want to just stay with the feeling for a second, just for a second. Because to me, that's the difference, you know? It's like, I want to stay with the feeling first. How do I feel? And to notice, oh... How does that feel? Because this requires a vulnerability, right? And the very fact that we were going to anger, there's often not wanting to be vulnerable, not wanting to be in that vulnerable space. So we go to anger because there's a hard shell in anger, there's a safety in anger, you know, that isn't there when we go to that.
Yes and no, because I was particularly vulnerable, I can assure you.
Say again, you were particularly what?
I said I was particularly vulnerable. I was particularly vulnerable, and I, without explaining what happened, there were other people around that were helping, that I wasn't left, you know, to my own devices. So I can only explain it that I guess it's a bit like the only important person or that was important to me was to look up, it was the insurance company. So it was a feeling of being, I suppose it's a rejection or
Kate, I get that at that time, that situation didn't work for you.
Yeah.
But what I'm wanting to connect with, and we could go the long way, I could offer you empathy and empathy and empathy and empathy, but what I'm trying to do here at the moment is show a shortcut of how we can get to the core need.
Yeah, which I understand.
So I just want to be present with the imagining of this magical outcome happening. You know, I'm remembering a time, I think I might have shared it with you, I'm remembering a time that my mother was having a major operation, absolutely major, and I rang a really, really close girlfriend, and I didn't even know I was looking for support at the time because I was just upset, and they didn't answer the phone. They rang me back that night, and they said, yeah, they knew that my mum was having an operation. They said, yeah, I didn't want to answer. I saw it was you, but didn't want to answer. And I was so angry. I was so upset. Like, this is a life-threatening thing. And I could have got angry at her, but instead, I noticed I was angry, and I actually said to her, I am feeling, because she knows NVC, and also I'm really honest with this friend. And I said to her, I am so angry to hear that you saw that I called and chose not to answer. And I'm going to get off the phone right now, and I'm going to find out what it is that's so important to me about why I'm so angry. Right? And I got off the phone. And when I checked in, I went, what is it that I would really have liked to have happened that didn't? And what it was I would have liked her to have seen my number come up and thought to herself, Shari has her mum having this major operation today. I may not feel like picking up the phone, but I'm going to pick it up because I want to be there for her. And then I checked, what is it that that would have given me if she had have done that? And what it was came up straight away, tenderness and care. Mm. And then straight away what I did was I said, I noticed inside of myself, and this is why it's so important to stay connected to our body, to what is going on in our body, in my body. And I noticed myself rejecting it, like instantly, like pushing, like, ugh, I don't want those feelings. I don't want those needs, tenderness and care. Oh, no, I don't need that. You know, I'm strong. And then I realized, oh, my God, if I can't need tenderness and care on the day that my mother is having a life-threatening operation, then when can I allow this tenderness and care? But straight away then I was connected to my own precious needs, and it was no longer about whether she answered the phone or she didn't. Now I could take other ways of getting that, those needs for tenderness and care met. And I went and I made myself a beautiful meal and poured myself a glass of wine and I put on a fur coat. And that did it for me, and I knew it would because I was connected to the needs. But if I stay in the story of how she didn't answer the phone and whatever, I've missed the opportunity to really connect with myself and then take action from that place. Because it's never about what people around us are doing or not doing. Because we're infinite human beings and we have infinite strategies to meet our needs. I'm wondering how that lands hearing what I just shared.
I'm taking it all in.
I'm watching the time as well here. So,
yes,
And the point that I really see that you're making here is that it's a choice. We can stay connected to the anger and we can indulge in that and we can stay with that. And for many of us, you know, there's a sense of power or almost an addiction to that kind of energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we're good. And or we can choose, but it has to be a choice to wake up, a choice to become conscious of what is actually happening within ourselves. But that is a choice.
And the other piece that I would add on that little piece that you just shared there is anger may feel powerful. In the moment it may feel powerful. But it's still reliant. If my okayness is dependent upon the other person behaving in a certain way, I am still fundamentally powerless because my power resides with someone else complying to what I want, or I'm, as you say, addicted to the pseudo feeling, it's a false feeling of powerfulness through this, you know, rising of energy, but that quickly rises and quickly falls. I'm still left powerless.
I think the reality is, though, there is a powerlessness that is what we're we find so hard to actually, you know, face. That we can't control direct, or and we can't necessarily avoid somebody else's impact that they will have on us, and you know, especially if you're talking about, like Dorothy was before, being angry about stuff the government's doing and what have you, then there is an element of powerlessness that we that is hard to stomach sometimes, and hard to go to the feelings that come up, the vulnerability and the powerlessness of those feelings, and yeah. actually sit in the reality of that.
I just want to add one tiny piece, and that is that, just in two sentences, and that is that when I am faced in that anger, I can actually, anger causes a defense around my heart, because in that moment of anger, I'm choosing sort of that power or seeming power, but I am not, I'm not speaking from my my authenticity and core truth with an undefendedness in my heart. And I have a choice point, and I wouldn't I don't trust my heart with everybody, but with people that I want to choose to share my heart with, the people who are closest to me, I may just choose to drop the anger and speak from that undefended vulnerability. So, and that's obviously what we learn in MDC.
So, Shari, I'm wondering whether you've got one or two sentences that you could say before we finish up, because the flip side that we haven't got to in tonight's webinar is when somebody is angry and directing that at me.
Yes.
You know, what are my options?
So, again, I'm seeing that that really, I have the choice to empathize with them, and again, I need to drop my own story to drop my own story. When I say my own story, I'm not discounting. I'm not in any way discounting the experience, but I can drop the story I have around this person and temporarily just suspend it. And empathize and hear what it is beyond the words of what this person's saying, and just empathize. So I drop my position and just hear them. And then I can come back to sharing honestly what is going on in me. So, and hopefully, because if they're really upset and aggravated, then there's not really going to be the space to hear what's important to me. So that, and so that's part of it. And also I want to understand what's really going on. And all of this is a choice and not always easy, and sometimes I might have to take a break and self-connect first and let the person know, look, right now I'm just a little bit feeling a bit scared. I'm going to self-connect and I'll come back. But I'm just feeling a bit scared at the moment. And yeah, that's they're the core things that I would say. Is there something that you would want to add, Linda?
I think, I mean, it may not be that you're scared. It might be that you feel upset or that you really want to go. And I think to speak about what you really want, you know, I really want to go carefully here, or I really want to find a way to understand what you're trying to get across to me. And right now I'm really struggling with that. I'd like to come, like to step away and come back and try again later to hear you. You know, to actually reassure the person that we want to hear what it is that's behind the anger, but that we're struggling at the moment. And yeah, so that would be.
I love the nakedness and the vulnerability of just that.
Yeah,
that's what's there, isn't it?
And I think it's really useful to almost like mentally or emotionally rehearse some of those things. Like if you have someone or something that comes up, you know, and it's hard to stay awake and conscious, you know, to mentally have rehearsed and to have in your head that you're going to say, okay, I really want to hear you. I'm not doing well right now hearing you. I want to come back, and to actually really practice that, because we need to also get in some other pathways happening. Yeah. Okay.
Love that. So maybe I'll just leave it to you to wrap up the call, Linda.
Well, I would like to just thank everyone for being on the call. We're right at the very end of our time. We're just a couple of minutes past that. And it would be, it's always good, and it's always, and appreciate leaving having heard from one or two people just a few words of what it is that you have, something you're taking from tonight's call that helps to meet our needs for knowing whether we contributed in some way or not tonight. So if we could just open the space to just have one or two people share just very briefly, even just a need that you've met or an insight that you've got, something that's new for you that you didn't have before you started the call. It would be wonderful. Please just unmute yourself, or if I've muted you, put something in there. Okay, Susie's saying, I tried to speak but wasn't heard. And okay.
I've got something to offer. It's Dorothy here.
Dorothy.
Yeah, I really appreciated the idea that repeatedly venting the anger just reinforces the neural pathways of that habit of being angry, rather than allowing me to connect more deeply with myself. And it's actually not a way to move beyond just that kind of hyperactive state. So that's really helpful for me. I'm taking that away big time. Thank you.
Great. Excellent. Thanks, Dorothy. And Susie, do you want to say something? I think you're muted from your side by the look of it at the moment. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Hello?
Hello. Can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I guess what I've sort of taken from it is that when I react to either myself feeling angry or someone being angry to me, that initially it's just, you just react, which is, you might get upset. But from what you're saying, I appreciate that I can also look within myself and think about the need that I'm, that aren't being met, or think more about the bigger picture of what's happening to me and how I'm feeling, as opposed to just reacting and getting upset.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Susie. Wonderful. And Andrew, I can see a note that you're saying about the different ways repressed anger might come out. Yeah. It's good to see and wake up to how we act out what we don't actually express. Well, thank you, everybody, for showing up. And there'll be a recording which will get sent out. And you can go, you'll see in the email that comes with that, you can go to a page where, if you haven't already been there and had a look at the other webinars, there's some great webinars to listen to. And I highly recommend that. And I'm going to open all the microphones. If you've muted yourself, maybe unmute yourself, and we'll just do a group farewell, goodbye, and thank you, Shari, for leading us through that. Thank you for sharing so much about anger and helping to bring a consciousness and awareness to that in our daily life.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. It's been...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for being with everyone tonight. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.